Yep.
Now
we are.
We're live.
Wow. Hell of a tournament. It was exciting. Say that. Fowler's run. Just thought Spieth was maybe going to catch him. It was interesting. It was like ebbs and flows of it. Started off kind of slow and got good at the end.
It was a weird Masters for me. I don't know why. Maybe the fact that the guys that I thought were going to be doing well going into the weekend weren't really doing all that well.
Pretty much everyone thought.
Yeah.
Like every prognosticator was keyed in on the same people.
Obviously, conditions on Friday were pretty tough, so that had something to do with it, but yeah.
I texted you guys. I thought today was kind of weird. It was like just because I think the course was softer than usual.
Rain last night.
Yeah.
It rained the day before.
Right. Yeah. And it, so it kind of made it like Reed's shot on 13. I don't know if it goes in the water if it hadn't rained or not.
Did they not turn sub-air on? Do they want it to be soft for numbers to be low on Sunday then? I mean, is that part of it where they want to see someone?
I can't imagine they wanted it soft.
They've always been inclined to have low scores on Sunday,
yeah.
You know, but I don't think they wanted people going out 10 under with two holes to go, like Paul Casey or whatever.
Yeah,
like 8 or 9
nearly setting.
That's right. There was like multiple guys challenging the course record today.
It was gettable. I mean, I don't think Reed's round was that fantastic. I mean, I wonder what the stroke average was, the people who made the cut, maybe 70 today. I'm just guessing.
Oh, way less than that.
You think it was less than that, all in?
Yeah, I would think so.
I told Jason before you guys got here, like, Poulter had 7 birdies today, and he didn't birdie a single par 5.
Wow.
It's like, just kind of weird, but
I think Paul Casey going out the way he did kind of set the stage for the fact that the course was playing gettable.
And Phil.
And yeah, Phil too. Wanted to go. What, yeah. Shoot 67 today?
Yeah. Man, that dude broke my heart. Those flop shots he was hitting.
It was so
Saturday.
Awesome on Saturday. Just
it was
went
so
straight
brutal.
To shit. In our,
oh my God. I was just like, Phil, don't do this. Just take the bogey and move on.
He's just the most aggressive player. Like,
Well, it didn't matter at that point. At some level.
I mean, it was on the first hole, though. Yeah, he was.
He had 79 on Friday.
Was it Friday? Okay.
No,
you're right.
Saturday.
You're right.
He was done. Didn't matter.
They whiffed on first.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
But it's just really weird.
Just turn around and walk back to the. Like, all right. Forget it.
All of the hype, like how they dusted. Who did they play in that practice round? They each made a bunch of birdies.
Oh, yeah.
Peters, Freddie. Yeah, like Tiger, eagled 2, the par 5s. And
yeah.
And like, I really expected Tiger to play or really contend this week of kind of where he's building to. That's the
question. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk Tiger. I mean, I don't think this affects my feeling about whether he's going to win this year. But damn, if you didn't think he was hot coming in, looked good, and then there was just nothing there.
We talked about it like probably 6 weeks ago where his distance control was terrible with his irons. And then he like straightened it out at the Arnold Palmer, Bay Hill.
Before that, probably Valspar.
Yeah, Valspar.
Before that at PGA National.
Wherever it was.
Pretty well
and
there.
Then this week it was just terrible again. Like Friday, Saturday, well, I know Friday and Saturday. Like, you watch the first hole. He bombs a sick drive. Great shot. That hole is ridiculously difficult. And then he airmails the green Friday, I think. And Saturday, he dumps it in the front bunker.
He was set by 40 yards.
Yeah.
That shot.
Wasn't even close. And he hit a wedge. Like, it was just like, oh, God. And he just did that all week, I feel like.
Oh, before I forget, too, is it me or is the coverage of, like, Mark Immelman and those guys doing the featured groups on the web broadcast, it's better than the CBS broadcast. It's like quieter.
It's weird
that group is better, but it is.
I enjoy watching PGA Tour live more than I enjoy watching, you know, like when it goes over to Golf Channel on a Thursday or Friday.
And
like,
I thought both guys we've had on with Mark Elliman and Bobby Klamper were both fantastic at Masters and on the range. I thought that was really interesting on talking golf swings and ideas going into the round. Like, those guys' knowledge base is fantastic. You think they would utilize them more on the regular broadcast, but
yeah.
Is there merit to the argument that you guys are a couple of golf nerds.
Yes.
Which is the reason why you like that coverage more. Where the CBS and NBC broadcast has to appeal to a much wider...
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. I mean...
Yeah. I don't blame
them. I feel the same way. Like, I enjoy... we were texting about it. I enjoy the BBC coverage. It's quieter. They set up the shots more. There's less of the, like, infantilizing everybody's, like, life story down to, like, one moment of their life. Infantilizing is not the right word. I don't know what I was trying to say there, but what I'm trying to say ultimately is that there's not the shtick.
Pushing involved.
Yes,
storylines and all that.
But I think you might be right.
Then there's just like basic stuff beyond that, whether there's crappy announcing or storyline pushing. Yeah. But then like today, when Spieth's like making his charge and he hits his tee shot on 13 and he's in the pine straw, they literally go to commercial, they show like two other shots, they go back and they're like, oh, here's what Spieth did. And they uploaded, I saw the YouTube video from the Masters.com featured group thing where it's Immelman and whoever. And there's like, you know, 90 seconds of Greller and Spieth like discussing the shot and the club, deciding whether you should hit a 4-iron or a hybrid, whatever. And it's like amazing stuff. And then CBS is like, oh yeah, by the way, Spieth just hit it to 10 feet for eagle.
Right. Well, one would have to assume they've studied the demographic or what they're trying to do. But
I'm not trying to like say I'm a TV golf.
No, I just think like Immelman's great. I mean, he's just great. And I thought Clampett's just fantastic. But you're right. I could just sit there all day watching them breaking down Ryan Moore's golf swing. Right. Fantastic.
So it says about me. Back to the, I guess,
tournament.
I mean, there's a million things to discuss, including Tony Finau dislocating his ankle, running running around on the par three course.
It's like Hoffman had a hole in one with him on 16 today. I'd be like, don't run, Charlie.
In the middle of him back. That's another guy.
Don't do it. Anyway. Cautionary tale.
Like you talked about Casey, like setting the tone early. Yeah. Finau made six straight birdies from like what was it, 12 through 17.
Yeah, it was gettable.
It's crazy, and then. But I was going to say, back to the beginning of the day, like, I'm all hyped up, like, waiting for, like, the, like, last couple groups to tee off. Because, obviously, it was down to, like, four, maybe five guys. If you want to count, like, Stenson was possibly, Spieth made it, so.
I was going to say, having said that, Spieth came from.
Right. Without setting the course record, it was going to be tough. And then Rory gets on the first tee, and I swear to God, I thought that that ball went out back into, like, the walkway into the course.
Was that underneath stuck? I mean,
I don't know how it stayed in bounds. I literally thought, like, you know, camera angle and whatever, but.
Had hit a tree.
Great job getting it up and down.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. That was
stuff calmed you down.
Yes.
The two shots he hit on two were unbelievable.
Yeah,
well, I thought that pump was going. How do we go from this? Okay, so going back to Saturday, watching Reed plan Saturday, I was like, this dude's got balls of steel. It was already stressful, and he was playing to the max, hitting the ball in the fairway, hitting greens, making putts. I figured if Rory was going to have a chance, he was going to have to shoot like 6 or 7 under. And I just figured Reed would put it on cruise control, didn't need to stress himself out too much.
Talking about today's round?
Yeah. Yeah. But that he had a 3-stroke lead.
I agree. Reed's going to shoot 69-70.
He's going to birdie at least two of the par fives, right? Like, you have to figure Reed's probably going to shoot 2-4.
Yes, with the soft conditions.
With the soft conditions, just on cruise control. No?
I don't. I think it's just a different crucible of pressure.
All right.
You know?
Let me make my argument, and then... Yeah, all right. So, my whole deal was, if Rory's going to win it, he's going to have to come out. But I was doubtful because Reed looked like he was in complete control of his game on Saturday. The first hole, first tee shot, they're both on the opposites there in the woods. Reed makes bogey. Somehow Rory scrapes together a par, hits it to like 4 feet on two for eagle, misses that putt, and then from there it was like the whole goddamn thing got reversed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. My mind was blown.
Short putt on two, missed his par putt on three, which Reed's putt was going to fly off the green. Same thing on 17. I thought Reed's putt was like going to hit that 500.
That was an amazing two putt.
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah. But if it doesn't hit the hole, I don't know if it stays within 10, 12 feet. But Rory misses that short putt on two, makes bogey on three. Missed a
great birdie on four.
Missed a relatively short par putt on five, yeah. Right? Yeah. Then he stiffs it on six and makes that putt. But on the back nine, what did they show? Like two of his shots?
Yeah.
Because he just went to shit. Right. I mean, he wasn't hitting it close. He was blocking everything out to the right, like his irons and everything else.
I'll ask Grant a question.
It was very disappointing, I thought.
We'll ask our
resident golfer. Yeah. Our resident golf player.
What does... Let's say you have a bad start from a tee shot, yet you make a heck of a four like he did in the first hole. And then you roast the tee shot on number two. I mean, doesn't sort of getting yourself that par in a tricky situation do a lot to just sort of calm the nerves and let's go play golf? Were you surprised that that didn't correlate? Like, you got your four out of that nightmare and you move forward off of it.
Not necessarily, because, like, deep in your mind, that initial horrible tee shot is lurking. And, like, where did that come from? Why is that happening? So, yeah, you might have made a four and, like, okay, that's cool. But that thought never went away, I bet. But then when he misses a putt from 4 feet, now it's got two things, scar tissue in his mind. Then he bogeys three. Now he's got three things of scar tissue in his mind. Steps up, hits a great shot on four, but he just, I don't know. He just wasn't.
His reaction on that shot on four, actually, I don't know if he hit it the way he kind of had like a weird like reaction, and I think maybe it ended up a lot better than he thought, so he kind of maybe, you know, bullshitted one there.
But have you had it gone both ways, and when you've been playing competitive golf, where all of a sudden it can calm you where you do it, or have you had it on the other side as well where it stays for a while?
It's both. Yeah, well, it's typically for me it stays in your head because you still can't fully trust what you're doing sometimes. I don't think he could trust himself on the greens after the fifth hole or sixth hole.
Yeah.
It appeared that way. Yeah, I was...
Wow. That sucked. And it was everything, too. It was the drive on one, it was the putt on two, and it was the wedge on three.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, I guess...
That wedge shot was a joke.
Like Grant was saying, it all kind of... Almost every part of his game started becoming suspect.
Right, and then
on the front nine.
You run out of things to be confident about.
Right.
You go, crap, I got nothing.
Greens rolling at that pace.
I'm the third best player in the
like
world.
Like Harry Diamond, take over.
Yeah.
Everybody can have a bad day.
Well, there's what is it? There's Saturday and then there's Sunday. And
right.
Boy, back to Reed, like, he didn't play great. He
shot 71 on a day that dudes were shooting.
Yeah,
64.
So, but he had a big enough lead, like,
yeah.
I'm kind of impressed, and then I'm sort of like, eh. But at the end, he won, but it was like, if you would have shot 68 and ran with it by three or four, you'd have been like, wow. But in the same token on, you know, 16, 17, 18, when he needed it to make a par or do what he had to do, he did.
Well, so, he bounced back after every bogey.
Yeah, right. So then there's good with it, too.
What he was about.
You think,
did he birdie a single par five today?
I don't think so. No, I think he went
two. He parred 13.
And 15. Which he almost bogeyed by hitting his wedge over the back of the green.
Yeah.
And I don't think he birdied eight.
Grant, does his footwork look better to you?
He's not stepping out and all over the place. So
you like the helicopter cut?
Well, it's all you can do from that position. I mean, he's just holding a
spin the club in the air.
But, I mean, from
whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Grant.
Hell, he just won the Masters. So,
yeah. But Ryan, that swing, I mean, it's so hitting a hook that he's got to literally just...
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he's got to do to slide the thing off. I mean,
no, he's smothered it for a long time. So,
yeah, I don't think that's
his hand way up here. And
but he made it work.
Yeah,
he's a gutsy player. Like, he's not the longest guy in the world. You know, he's getting outdriven by most of the younger kids. I mean, he's long enough, but like, he's not Dustin Johnson when he's on. And he just did what he had to do. He putts it real. I like his putting stroke. Putts it good, and he's gutsy.
He always has putted well.
Yeah, he putted amazing today.
He's one of those guys who's been a winner at every level he's competed at.
He's a pit bull, that's for sure.
Well, I am very proud that I think he'll be in the Ryder Cup.
We're all like, yeah, he's a great player.
Multiple majors in him?
Probably, because he has that much self-belief.
Yeah,
he's
a lot of
probably
it.
The most arrogant person out there in terms of how good he is versus how good he thinks he is.
But how much of that is just... The self-belief.
Yeah.
The
that's my point.
Yeah.
Would he be largely relegated to, like, the Masters and the PGA Championship, though? I mean, like, honestly. Like, I mean, I would assume those are his two best bets.
He played a U.S. Open okay.
He's not long enough, though. Now they're playing the 7,700 yards everywhere.
It's not wet, usually. Those courses like
true, I guess.
Dry.
I don't know. I just when I thought about it, I was like kind of like half. He's in contention for maybe half of them.
He's never played well at the Masters before.
That's
so,
true.
I mean, it's kind of weird. He
that's true.
Could play the Open maybe pretty well with that kind of low hooky. The wind got up. I could see his body holding well in those conditions. PGA, I don't see it as much too. Grant doesn't hit it long enough to kind of play that.
Yeah, sure. That's he got second last year at Quail Hollow.
Yeah.
You know,
no, better not.
Long golf course.
Shows those guys if they're on, you know, he can win about anywhere.
It's true.
But it's a life changer for him. I mean, now he was one of those kids who was good, and now it's a whole new level.
It was a good little showing for the U.S. Ryder Cup, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rory backpedals. Stenson didn't do shit today. Right. You got Spieth and Fowler just going off. I like
Rahm would be the only bright spot.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy,
Rahm had it until his second on 15, and then then it all melted just, down instantly. Like,
boom, I'm out.
It was disappointing how he like didn't get so emotional and crazy.
I agree.
Wanted to go nuts.
Yeah. But he like held it together. You know, people have been up his ass and all.
Oh that, yeah, so. For sure.
He the first time he did it today was on 8 when he hit it left and it rolled down that hill and then he like had to like chip it up, and then obviously after 15, like 15, 16, 17, he was just like dragging his feet down the fairways.
He let it go a little bit on 16. I think he smashed his club into the tee box or something.
Yeah.
Like
he almost, I thought he broke a club over his
head. He looked like he faked
that was,
it.
That was on 17.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the kind of, I mean, I think he needs to do that stuff.
I agree.
Don't
I mean,
about media and 5-year-olds' dads telling you you look like a jerk.
Right.
You know?
Who gives a shit? I'm out here trying to win golf tournaments.
I think
tournaments.
He's going
to
be really good for a really long time.
Like, yeah.
That's apparent.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's the real deal. He does everything well.
Yeah.
All right. So this is another quiver in my. God damn it, man. What is with me? Podcast. I lose the ability to speak.
Make
to
note.
I have a microphone in front of me. This is another arrow in my quiver for my argument that if Ricky Fowler is ever going to win a master, he's going to have to come from behind. I don't think he can handle the pressure going in with a lead on Sunday, but he can play his ass off on Sunday and shoot up.
But last year he was in the same kind of position and he shot like 76 or 77.
He's gonna win one.
I have no doubt that. Yeah, I have no doubt that he's gonna win one.
He's
so
good.
I feel like, you know, back in the day before he got with Butch, he had that wacky hitch in his swing and he was always good for a double bogey somewhere on Saturday or something. And I feel like it's the same dude swinging the club with a better swing. When he gets like a lead on a Sunday, it just seems like the wheels
he's
come
so
off.
I really want him to win a major because I think he's so solid. Like
he's
fun
amazing.
To watch. He's just like I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna owe
I'm not
somebody
into, like,
a bottle of Blue Label when he does
another
yeah,
second
okay
another
that.
Bullet dodged.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's
another
he's
top five
second,
major.
Like,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Ridiculous.
He's just around it though too much. To eventually one falls in place.
Stop. That's interesting. I think he'd be better with the lead.
I mean,
I do.
I don't see him choking.
No, not anymore. I think he's matured enough.
And that putting stroke,
maybe he's been around.
Yeah, he's been around the top enough now that he's going to be due.
You think he'd just like keep the pedal down and just?
Yeah,
he just doesn't play with fear.
Right.
And he
doesn't make like brutal mistakes like
not anymore.
To,
you know,
right.
Like Ryan said, he has a
yeah.
The big hook is gone. He used to hit that drop in move, and man, he had to time it up.
Did his swing look flatter
yes.
though than usual?
Yes,
he gets a little flat, and they keep
like,
working on it, but it's flat.
I even saw some pictures
right.
where I was like, "Damn, he's like way."
But it's not as it's not as dropped in as it used to be.
Yeah, it looked. I mean, he played awesome today. Obviously,
can't think of a shot he missed from like
no.
on.
No, 17. He tried to hit it just over the mound, and it.
Yeah, that was just
but Rory did the same. I mean, it was
1 yard further, and it's a different story.
Right.
That shot.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I mean that's why he does that takeaway thing, right?
The little pre
his pre
shot.
He's trying to get it more up.
He just
trying to get it out straight.
Now, if you watch him on the driving range with Butch, it's more upright than it is under the gun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still he has a tendency to get flat.
He will get flat. I mean, it's so laid off, too, at the top. It's so, like, it's pointing 45 degrees the wrong direction.
Well, kind of has to get back in front of him for...
He's quick enough to do it.
Yeah, but if
you
cross the line, it would be really stuck. So by having it laid off, he can still kind of drop it in. It's a super athletic move. I mean,
yeah.
I'd hit it 100 yards right if I actually put the club in that position and tried to get it, you know, down in front of me.
Yeah.
Impossible. Does he have, I bet you he has two majors in the next 5 years. The consistency, and I agree with Grant, the way he's playing and trending and maturing.
Yeah.
I just don't see him not getting a couple.
I'm willing to allow for that argument in response to mine, that he's grown up. So I think I am dealing with a little bit of like retrospective bias here, because he's been on tour forever. It's the weirdest thing, too. He's not that old.
He's 28.
And I feel like he's been on the tour for 15 years.
So he's in his prime about right now.
Right.
Now till 33 or 35, he'll, you know.
But I just, like, I don't know. The memories from the times that, you know, he's on the, you know, 12th hole or whatever on Sunday with a one-stroke leader tied for the lead and dumps one in a pond.
I don't see it. I just think he's that good. Yeah. I think he's that consistently good. What's your guys' biggest surprise of the week? If you just kind of look at the whole thing, what's one or two things that stand out where you're just like, come Sunday afternoon, you're like, wow, that I did not expect that or see that. What'd you take from that standpoint?
For me, and this is probably like preaching to the masses, but just Spieth on like Friday and Saturday, not really being there. Like, he played so well the first day, and he played so well today. What happened? I know Friday was brutal. The greens were super hard and fast and
windy.
That's, you know, a notch for your argument about drying out the courses and making them, you know, tough to score that way. But that was a shocker to me. Like, we watched the first day of the tournament, and I was like, dude, that kid's going to win.
Yeah, I would have thought that.
Yeah.
It's just something about him, though. Stats back him up, but the eyeball doesn't. Like, I think he's a scrappy iron player still. I think he's a scrappy driver of the ball. And he made putts today like he made in 2015 and 16. He's pouring them in from everywhere.
Yeah.
He did that on Thursday, too. And he, like, got back to that old rare form. He's just pouring everything in. And then he didn't for 2 days. And I just always think that covers up the weaknesses in this game, which it does any good player, but right. That was just apparent to me. But my biggest surprises were like how bad Justin Thomas played, Dustin Johnson.
I was thinking DJ, JT, and Justin Rose. And
They all finished like between 7th and 10th.
Paul Casey went off today, but they were never really there. I mean, they were never close.
So crazy that DJ
Dustin Johnson gets another top six at the Masters. Yeah. He's never even been in it.
Yeah, he's not awful. Even close. Yeah. And I'm sure if you asked him, he's like, I was awful. And
every time they like, showed him, he was like missing putts, but, you know, he's just like, he did nothing. I mean,
that's the thing. He shoots, or he's tied for six. I think this is now his last four. He's been in the top six, but you're never like, God, he was right there.
No.
Yeah, no, he was too far.
Never, he's never been coming down, you know.
That golf course should set up so good for him, though. It just...
Yeah, it does. I just...
Jay, anything that stood out from just 180 from the time he started to the end?
No. I mean, I was just honestly same sort of thing. I just... A lot of the guys that just were never really there as far as in contention, even from, you know, basically after Thursday, it was kind of done. Obviously, the Tiger, you know, was lackluster, kind of disappointing for sure. Rory was obviously a big-time disappointment today. Two Sunday Masters botches for him, but...
It's crazy how different the course plays when it's a little softer and not windy. Mm-hmm. Like, just looking at... I honestly want to know what the scoring average was on Friday versus today.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy, and it's a testament, honestly. I know they've made a ton of changes from the original design, but, you know, the whole Mackenzie Jones idea was like, let's build a course that the average guy can come out and have fun, but the expert player, if he's willing to take some risks and hit shots that are, you know, really difficult shots, can put up super low numbers, and that's exactly how it looked on Friday and Sunday.
And angles, whole thing is, do you take the risk to get the angles? Let me say, never played Augusta, but I played the copycat golf course of it in Dallas once. And if you didn't know you were playing a copycat golf course, Amen Corner is like the three greatest. Like if some, you just said, like, well, I'm playing a round of golf here today at, you know, Tour 18, don't realize they're copycat holes. You'd be like, what were the best? Oh, yeah, those three they had in a row were amazing. Right. It's
11, 12, and 13.
They are that cool, even playing the copycat holes from a strategic standpoint.
So the scoring average today was 70.49.
That's about what I thought.
Yeah, stroke and a half under
par. And so over par, read it in theory.
And the scoring average on Friday was
72, I think.
Higher than that. You had some guys.
74.56.
But you got to remember, you got 20 guys.
That's also pre-cut.
Right. Yeah, right.
You got 20 guys like, who can't compete.
Yeah.
What was the British amateur?
Harry Ellis.
Yeah.
Harry Ellis. He had a rough go.
Yeah.
Doug Gim got a lot of crystal coming back.
Dude, yeah, good for him.
Had some good stories about him and Bernard on Saturday. That was cool.
He's a legit player, but he has been since he's been 12. I played with him when he was 16. I was like,
what event did you play with him?
State amateur.
Was he was that good?
Oh yeah.
It was that legit?
Yeah. He might have even been 16. He might have been 14. And I was just like,
Jesus. Did he beat you?
He did for the tournament, but not that day.
So you clipped a 14-year-old kid in your prime.
And you're feeling good about it. All right.
Congratulations, Grant.
Yeah, it was at Glen Oak.
Nice. Yeah. Jay's been out there a bunch.
I wonder if he'll turn... No, he's just going back to college, right?
Well, he's got to finish his school year. Yeah.
He's got to finish up his school year. But yeah, he's a campus kind of prospect.
I saw a funny tweet that was basically like, I like how Doug Gim's dad goes for the hug instead of the high five, because you can't have the awkward, terrible high fives after you get shots if you just hug the guy.
I'm sad that his old man is out caddying for him. That's gotta be great. The greatest. And didn't like Longer rake up bunker?
Yeah, so that's what I was mentioning is on yesterday, on the third hole, I guess he must have tried laying back and hit it in the bunker on three, which that's a crappy miss. But then he like airmailed that over the green, and Doug's dad was going to rake the bunker, and Longer grabbed the rake and was like, I got it. Go help your son, like, figure out what he's doing, like, for his next shot. And, like, I guess he played the Sandy Lyle. No,
Longer's actually taking a jab at Gim. Go help your son figure out what the hell he's doing right now.
Let's go. He played with, like, Sandy Lyle and I don't know who else on Thursday, Friday, but I know Doug Gim was, like, super, like, proper and like very like appreciative of like the old guys like helping him around and being super fun to play
with. Speaking of old guys, is it Fred Couples and Bernhard Langer are going to be like 73 years old each still making the cut there? Like it is. Freddie hasn't played any golf.
I saw something,
and he was relatively still there, which is crazy.
I saw something on like Saturday morning that somebody on the range, I don't know where this came from, but basically there was speculation that this could be Freddie's last tournament ever because his back was so bad that he literally like could barely play. And I don't know what, you know, merit there is to that, because obviously he finished the tournament and he played really well. So, but apparently it was so bad that he was like basically saying like, this could be my last go. That's the rumor anyway.
We'll watch Longer next year. It'll be like T18.
Dude, every time.
62.
He's in the second to last group. Last year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's the dude just doesn't stop going. I mean, the length's eventually going to get to him out there a little bit, but they still made the cut, and they still finished, what, 30th or something?
Higher than that. They're both plus three.
Okay. At 60?
Probably 40th or something.
That's still crazy.
Do you know what the member tee length is out there?
It's like 63 or 64.
Yeah, it's like 6280 or something. I saw that, and I was like,
well, there's no... I don't think they have, like, member tees and then tournament tees, right, Grant? There's, like, no in-between.
Yeah.
So you couldn't put an average member back. I mean...
From the tournament tees?
We had... hasn't been out there yet, but we had Jimmy Stanger on, who was playing the web, and he got to play Augusta from the tournament tees. And he said it was harder than he thought. He thought that, you know, the golf course is pretty darn difficult from all the way back.
Well, and... then imagine playing it in tournament condition with the greens running it, whatever the hell.
But he said you can go to Augusta as a guest and play the tournament tees. They're open. But he's like, you know.
Unless, you got to be a plus.
I was talking to my dad about this earlier today. You know, they announced they're doing the women's amateur thing.
Yeah.
So what tees are they going to play?
I know.
And what pin placements are they going to use? Are they going to use the easy pin
that'll
placements?
That'll be interesting
where the ball
to see.
They'll play
Sunday pins.
Sunday pins. Yeah. They'll play for the members.
The member tees.
Yeah, 60, yeah. For a women's amateur event, 6,300 yards. That's
perfect. Yeah.
That's about right.
They don't have to make any adjustments.
Sunday tees.
I think it's interesting that they're doing it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Sunday pins.
I think it's interesting they're doing it like the week right before the Masters.
Is it a one-dayer?
It's 3 days, but 2 days are in another course.
Okay.
And then Augusta. And then if you make the cut after 2 days, you get one round.
Okay.
And they cut from 74 to 30.
That makes sense because I was like, man, that course is going to take a beating between having all those people out there and then they do drive, drive chip and putt on Sunday. Course. They're on like 18 green, which is whatever. But I was just thinking, like, if they have multiple rounds out there and then a week later, that's kind
of traffic.
Bizarre. But, yeah, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. If you played Augusta, would you play tournament tees, Grant? Or would you play members?
Of course.
You go all the way back?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to. Or would you want the better round? Just don't tell people where you played from. Shot 68.
I think it would be pretty gettable from 6,300
yards.
Well,
it's Grant, you played Augusta. Yeah, I shot 69. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I played from 6,300 yards.
Great. Some Jamoke at our course at played Amen Corner one under and he's like a 21 handicap.
Yeah.
So for those tees.
Right. Well, when 11 goes from being, you know,
505 to
500.
Right.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
You hit 3 wood, 7 iron off
from a 11 from a member tee would be all the difference in the world.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Versus
505.
Right.
That'll do it.
Hack something out to the right and have it bound in. And
I was gonna
if I played from the member tees, I would drive it over the right trees.
It's all in green.
Yeah,
goes downwind.
So, is 12 when the wind is up the hardest hole at Augusta on Sunday? Obviously, we didn't get fireworks today.
It's the most dangerous hole.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's
10 and 11 are the hardest.
Are the hardest. Well, right. I mean, 11 is obviously the hardest hole on the golf course.
It didn't really do anything today, by the way.
There was not much wind.
Well, because the course conditions were just not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, they put in that huge row of trees probably 6 to 10 years ago. I don't know. And now everybody wants to hit it up the right side.
Yeah.
But today it looked like everybody was just bombing it down the left.
Right.
And I don't understand why they don't ever always do that. Although, you know, you have to hit over the water. You know, these guys
not
to
the Sunday pin. Just take it right at it.
Rahm and Fowler were together, and they both hit them right down that left side.
Yeah. Well, they all were. Even Tiger did. And like, you know, everyone that hit a legitimate second shot in there, and then you hear the announcers like, "Oh, they don't want to challenge the pond."
You could
get 20 yards.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, downhill.
You would take it down the left, wouldn't you, Grant? Just fired at the pin. Yeah.
No way would I even try to mess with that right side. It's open on the left side. Oh, you have a weird angle because now you got to go across a pond.
Instead of
being
on the right. 6 iron in or 7 iron?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's nothing for these guys. So.
Like aim down the left, hit a little
baby
game.
And the pin is far enough away from the water. You've got room.
Yeah, and that's maybe if that pin's that front one on Thursday or Friday,
right.
But I still think you go down the left because now you got the pins 20 paces closer to you.
Well, whatever it's worth in the copycat hole, I hit it down the right and I bunted like a little 5 hybrid, trickling down to the right and pinged it onto the green like a 90-year-old man. That was the way I played it.
It's the way to do it.
It's the way to do it.
Whatever works.
But I agree. I mean, you cut length off the hole by going down the left side. It's not as...
Yeah, well, isn't there an argument, though, that if the course is playing quick, that if you go down the left... And the pin's on the left, let's say, that you could spin it too much, you could come back and go into the pond.
Well, I think there's also a fear of that. I mean, that potentially, or if you're in the rough on the left and you can't spin it, then you're going downhill from the rough. And if it's windy, you're trying to guess how far do I need to carry this. And if you hit it over from that angle, you're probably in a world of hurt.
I'm saying there's clearly
water left, there's water in front, and then you can't go over.
But when you're on the left side of that fair, those guys were taking dead aim.
That's what I'm saying. But for the last few years, they just try to play it as close to the right as they can. I just think they're all...
All right, so as far as 12 goes, is it the bet? What was the
I don't know. I just
best
feel
tournament
like,
par three or the most like interesting.
But today there wasn't much wind where it made
didn't have anybody airmailing it where
all of a sudden it dies. But I think the potential is there for that to be a frightening shot.
Hey,
it
even,
always has
even
been.
Tiger hit it up there today. He didn't make the 10 that you had anticipated.
It's 100
for the first 2 days.
55-yard hole that is threatening as hell if the conditions are, you know, not perfect.
You can't bail it out.
And you have a one-stroke lead. You know.
And I think the tricky part on Sunday that is it's, it plays with your mind in the sense of most good players inevitably have a hard time not aiming at a pin when you have a wedge or a 9-iron.
Right.
If it's into the wind, an 8.
But you can't.
But you can't.
Right.
So you have the potential to kind of come up and out of the shot of not fully committing to that line.
The Tiger Woods on Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, I think that
I mean, both of
those
were like flares.
But I'm saying it's worse on Sunday with that right pin, but you don't need the right pin. It's hard for those guys with that short of a club to not hit that at the pin.
But
at some innate level.
John Hopkins University went out there in 2016 and did like wind simulations, and there is no way to like know what's going on.
That's a shame. So I was going
to
say that.
This goes back to like, if you enter,
there's like scientific evidence that it's just like
swirls, right?
You just can't.
But this goes back to, so you, they all have wind books now, like,
right?
And they know if the wind is coming from
east,
how
west,
many degrees,
east, west.
But now they have a book that can chart it out and everything.
Yeah.
But we talked about like last time about just introducing fear or uncertainty.
Right.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
That's, there's enough trouble on that hole that it can.
Yeah,
if you don't commit to the shot, you go right.
Gets in your head. You're screwed.
Long is dead.
Well, and that's so like if. For people listening who maybe don't know what the hell we're trying to convey or haven't been there, it's maybe the lowest, one of the lowest spots on the property, and there's trees on hills that basically surround the whole thing behind you and behind the green when you're standing on the tee. You can't feel anything.
When you're there, how much higher does the ball flight for most of those guys go above the trees? Because you can't punch it in there low. I mean, the green.
I don't know. It doesn't get above the trees. Those, I mean, some of those trees are 100 plus feet tall.
I mean, there's a big hill behind that.
But
green.
it is valley and like open. I mean, there's wind coming through there, and there's enough room in there for wind to move different directions.
But you can't feel it at all, like. I remember when we were there, we went there on a Tuesday, and walking in, you know, you come in by the clubhouse and stuff, and you're basically at the top of a massive hill, and it wasn't like a windy day, but there was a solid breeze going on. You get down in that sort of valley where it's like, you know, 11 green, 12, and 13, and it's just like kind of, it just feels stagnant, but if you walk 100 yards up the hill, all of a sudden you're like, oh, the wind's actually blowing. So
if it's blowing, Grant, would you say at some level it's sort of luck? If it's just luck, if that ball hits it, doesn't hit it.
Jack Nicklaus or somebody said it's that. You just got to like
time it.
Guess on a number and stick with it. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't,
And today that just wasn't even.
It wasn't,
it didn't seem like that was ever even.
Right.
Wedges and little.
Even, I mean, how many times, a lot of times on, you know, Masters Sundays, there's guys backing off of a ball to try to get the wind that they want, or
it was
like the wind changes. Never happened today. I mean, that never happened.
So one of the great things about that golf course, though, is that it takes the simple and makes it seem or feel, for professional golfers, very questionable, very intense.
Yeah,
like
that back nine has such a great design of shooting 40 on the back nine or 30, and the margin between it is small.
Even 16. Like 16, the Sunday pin placement, if there was no pressure and you didn't have to worry about what was going on, that's not a difficult shot for a professional golfer.
Oh, they were hitting the 8-irons, 9-irons today?
It is, in a sense, too easy, but at the same time, there's been a lot of drama that's taken place in the 16th hole, whether it's people making putts, which granted, you know, that's not exactly what my point goes to, but, you know, somebody hits it past the hole, and all of a sudden you're looking at a 3-putt dead in the face.
I mean, yeah. So Rory hit, I think, pitching wedge on 12 and, like, 9-iron, 8-iron on 16. So, yeah, they're obviously not, like...
Yeah, I remember when Jack won that 86, that was a 5-iron.
Yeah,
I mean, the technology has changed, but it's, I don't think it's the hardest shot in the world. I mean, it's not easy. They'll draw to the middle of the green.
Because even if you hit it in the bunker, you just play it off that slope.
Yeah, like Fowler did.
Every person did today.
Yeah, there can't be a hell of a lot of fear in that shot at this point.
If you put that pin back maybe six paces, it's a different story.
But the people love it. They can make a one
or
two.
This is my point. It takes that golf course takes things that are normally easy and somehow manages to insert drama into them.
I agree, and I'd rather watch those par threes than like the 230-yarders that guys are trying to blast. It's like
they're fun,
right?
They're
fun. And I'd rather see guys trying to hit them close or trying to use the slopes or, you know, going for it rather than guys that have to hit. What was the par three at Marion that was like 250 or something like that? Like Steve Stricker's hitting driver.
It's a lot less interesting.
It's just, I don't know.
Great short par threes are fun to watch.
Short par threes, short par fours, like number three at Augusta is, I mean, Rory bogeyed it today. The dude could drive the ball onto that green.
Did anyone try to drive it this week? Right.
Yeah. Tommy Fleetwood did drive the green.
You did drive the green.
Early rounds, everybody was.
Yeah.
Just the pin placement didn't.
Yeah.
Rounds, no one did. The pin was more back into the middle of the green and back.
Yeah.
What did Mick Fleetwood shoot today?
Not great.
One over, I think.
Yeah, it was bad.
Played really well yesterday.
He's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's solid.
Yeah.
Well, anything else thrilling or exciting, kids? We got a lot of podcast stuff coming.
Oh my
Ryan
God.
Armour. That's good. Ryan Armour, and Ryan Armour is not going to interview Ryan Armour, which is this is sort of like getting Johnny Ray Houston. We actually got Ryan Armour to do the podcast.
It's awesome.
Did you get my email?
I did. The congratulations.
Fleetwood shot 74 today.
Oh, I thought
Ben. Yeah, what else we got? Ben Curtis coming up.
Nice.
Open champion, and then Troy Merritt coming up. So, and the Jimmy Stanger interview was really interesting.
Really good. Yeah, I'll put that up tomorrow with this one probably.
On what's it like to try to get on tour? Some interesting facts on that one.
Yeah. Props to Grant for the questioning process that he.
Props to Grant too that we put out there that if he needs a caddy in Chicago for the web event.
Yeah.
There you go.
The man to do it.
Rust-Oleum, I'll do it.
Hell yeah.
Get a win and I. Gotta quit my job.
Yeah. I need you. And he kind of looks like Grant. Looks like Grower already, doesn't he? I can kind of see Grant as Grower.
Yeah.
Do you have a gentle soul of the week?
By the way, I have
not Patrick Reed.
There's the first.
What does he serve at the champions dinner? I picture it being something manly.
Steak.
Like yeah.
Tomahawk chop or something.
Exactly. There's not going to be anything subtle about it. It's going to be like
Budweiser,
a tomahawk chop. Yeah. It's going to be
just for the goddamn name. You would do that.
Right? Yep.
Be like, 42 tomahawk.
42 ounce.
Probably like 42 ounce tomahawk.
Yep.
Mac and cheese.
Yep. And like the salad would even have to be kind of hardcore.
Fruit roll-ups.
Red Bull.
Yeah.
Red Bulls and vodka. Right? Let's get this thing going.
That's great.
I don't see there being a whole lot of international flair to it. I see it being maybe some Texas brisket.
You know what Sergio served?
It was it was pretty cool. Like the
international salad with 11 ingredients from the 11 countries that have been represented by winners.
And then like a lobster rice
Spanish
soup kind of thing.
That's cool.
Something, yeah.
He's not going there. It's
Tres Leches cake.
Then he had his wife's cake. She makes like a Tres Leches cake.
I think.
Did you see the press conference where someone asked him what the Tres Leches cake was? It was so awkward.
Just be fudge.
It's like a
straight up fudge.
You guys know the press conference. Like, there's always the do you think Hideki can win this week? Media person. It's like whatever. Some Asian media person asked Sergio Garcia what the Tres Leches cake was, and so Sergio spent a legit 3 minutes trying to explain this cake. Like,
it's Japanese, too.
Yes, he's talking about the different types of milk. Like, there's so there's some condensed milk, and you mix it with the regular milk, and and then at the end, he's just like. It's just very delicious. I don't know. What the hell is going on?
Bad lip reading with the guy doing the ant questions for Justin Thomas. I was in.
Oh yeah.
Tears on that one.
Yeah.
150 pounds dripping wet. And he eats the shit out of the ball.
That was disappointing. He did play like.
Said those are my surprises. Garbage. Just how he was.
I was a little upset. I had JT in our four man spot. and I had Philly Mick in my other in my other pool, and like I said, he broke my heart.
My point to that though is, what did like Justin Thomas finish?
He's 6 under. Did he really need to go back?
I think it's such a fine line sometimes between T15 and contending.
Yeah.
It's just a fine line out there. Of look at DJ, how many putts he made. It just, it doesn't take much. Look at Patrick Reed, has not played well there historically. Comes in and
yeah,
you know, it's it at that level, man. It's a fine line between doing well and winning out there.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let go of. I think it was like 2 weeks ago when Reed got a. Hit a ball in the weeds and wanted to get a drop, and the rules official came over and he was like, "If I was Jordan Spieth, you'd let me get a drop."
Yeah, no, he's like,
and then his wife was like,
"TV cables."
This is ridiculous.
Patrick Reed likes Patrick Reed. Gotta appreciate that.
That's
nope. The
only person I think.
Is he like? Does his Ryder? Well, you know, inside, does the Ryder Cup teammates like him when he's on their side?
Well, I
don't think so. Like, no. I don't think they like him. They might tolerate him.
Yeah. So I answered that question earlier, and then the one comment I was just going to make is I found it hilarious and revealing that the one guy that was waiting for him after he finished was Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
Was
like, but I think he was just trying to get some TV play.
I was like, weirdest, douchiest sort of. Well, Fowler was there because he just got beat, and he wanted to say congrats and whatever. But
Reed's own family.
Right.
I don't know if you guys know all the ins and outs, but
yeah, why does he not talk to his mom and dad?
That's so weird. There's all kinds of stories. But
he stole from him.
His teammates at Georgia voted him off the team.
Yeah.
The teammates at Augusta State voted him off
the team. And the coach who didn't have the balls to kick him off, right?
Because he was so good.
No. So the story goes, and you should read the story, is he got kicked out of Georgia for stealing a putter and potentially cheating, I believe. So basically got busted and kicked out. He goes to Augusta State. He's obviously awesome. Like, he's a great player. And they held like a players only closed door meeting or something like that because the players at Augusta State like hated him. They're like, he would practice with headphones in. He didn't talk to anybody. He basically was like his own little thing, whatever. The players voted like unanimously to kick Patrick Reed off the team.
Even though he was that good.
Yeah, because they were like, this guy's a dick. Like, he's.
But they wouldn't have won those championships without him. There's no way.
Those five guys are probably CPAs right now. And
he's a
Masters champion still.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have a good track record.
They voted him off. They voted like unanimously to kick him off the team, and the coach
he's shooting 68 every time he plays.
Yeah. I'm not kicking this guy.
Did you ever cross paths with him in any amateur events back in that time period?
He's not that old.
Yeah,
he's 27.
He's
I think.
Be older than he is.
They just said the last four major champions.
Is that it? God, it feels like he's been out there forever.
Yeah, the last four major champions are Americans between the ages of 24 and 27.
He looks older than 27.
You know what I love is the fact that everybody talks about the fact that him and Spieth are like buddies because they get matched up.
Oh, I know.
And Spieth has just got to deflect that shit so hard.
I told my wife that Patrick Reed is Spieth's partner, and she was just like, why?
What?
Why? Why would he do that?
I was surprised Spieth wasn't out there to congratulate him.
He doesn't. I don't think they.
They don't.
They coexist.
They don't like.
Listen, Spieth is out there. Like dealing with Reed's bullshit antics during the Ryder Cup, and he's like, hey man, if he's going to keep making putts, that's like cool.
After the round today, Spieth said, I wish I could have been there, and I wish I could have played with him to like basically beat him.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's what he said in his post-round interview. He's like, I wish I could have been in Patrick's group just to like match him shot for shot.
Yeah, because Rory shit himself.
What I understood was, if I played with him, I would have whooped his ass.
Right,
that's what I.
But yet they'll match him up at the Ryder Cup again if Patrick Reed is on the team. Grant,
mm-hmm.
I took that bet too.
Everybody took that bet too.
I'm in for $1, and
he's not on the team.
Well,
yet.
After the shit Reed was talking at the match play when he got grouped up against Spieth, and then the drop situation that I just mentioned.
Oh yeah,
and I'm sure, you know, as we have come to know about any. Like a sports personality that gets asked the same question over and over again. I'm sure Spieth gets a little annoyed when he's talking to somebody and they ask him questions about Patrick Reed when it comes to his Ryder Cup record, I'm sure he's like, dude, I also play the game. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's good to have these characters, though.
It is. He plays a good heel.
Yeah. Trending him like Rory Sabatini's way.
I don't know if he's that bad.
I agree. He starts wearing shitty hats.
I hope he's digging hats.
My interaction with Rory Sabatini, though, was actually he was extremely nice.
Because you were one of the few people that actually gave a shit to talk to him, probably.
He was actually very nice. I don't know. But
what was Rory Sabatini's deal? I just remember him like saying he was going to beat Tiger.
He did.
But, you know, to me that the thing seems with, like,
so the inside info on Rory Sabatini is the guys on tour thought he's a jerk and they don't like hanging out with him. Right.
It's not that they think he is.
He actually was.
Like, these other 150 guys think I'm a dick. Right. I don't know why.
Like, the shining story, though, is he was playing in Congressional with a rookie on tour, and he didn't like how slow the guy was playing. So on 18,
he just walked up.
Like, oh, that was Ben Crane, right?
Well, okay, it might have been.
Yeah, that was Ben Crane.
He just walked up on the green while the guy's, like, contemplating a second shot. He just walks up there and stands right behind the pin.
But he's fiery.
And he does shit like that. He doesn't care who you are. He just does something. And yeah.
Yeah.
But it was all that. His wife's family, though, coming off the green. None of his own family was there. Like, what the hell?
No. Don't they live in Augusta?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's still weird not to have your mom and dad there if you're going to win a major.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was his agent. It was his agent, his buddy, and his wife's family.
Yeah, I saw those guys wearing Team Reed hats, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, I saw his head covers say Team Reed on them.
Yeah.
And the Captain America nickname is stupid. Yeah. It's boring.
I kind of like it.
You are stupid.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, he's named Captain America basically for, like, screaming when he makes putts.
Yeah, because he's
just a writer, good at the team.
I mean, I get it's the Ryder Cup, and it's like America.
I really thought he'd wear a red, white, and blue out there today.
I still can't believe Nike, or he didn't just tell Nike.
Yeah, I'm wearing red.
Get bent.
Well, that's right. I heard he wasn't going to be wearing red because of the Nike scripting, but then that's when I like texted you guys earlier. I was like, if I'm him, I just show up and I'm wearing fucking red. What are you going to do? Like, kick me off Nike golf when I'm in the final group at the Masters?
Right.
Like,
they were everywhere this week.
Oh my God.
That's like
all over the place. Well, yeah.
I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, once they got a close side of it, like, we're just going to put everybody in our pair.
Tiger, Rory, Fleetwood,
Finau,
Casey,
McIlroy, Paul Casey. they were everywhere.
Yeah.
I think they're going to sign Tim Heron anytime soon.
I hope so. I hope Timmy gets a contract.
Nike athlete.
Hey, they got Jimmy Stanger or whatever.
They did.
So, yeah, they got everybody.
Yeah, they got, that's his. He said that, well, I won't give it away. Hope people listen to it. But yeah, that's his biggest deal.
I also just want to note, for you having said that you're surprised you didn't show up in red, white, and blue, he still uses the yardage book from the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he had the Ryder Cup umbrella.
And the umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got to play into it at this point. I mean, that's.
Dude.
Yeah.
Really?
So yeah. He still uses the Ryder Cup.
He's the biggest dork.
Stricker uses the President's Cup yardage book thing. You watch him on the Champions Tour, winning every week.
I'm sorry, he's pandering.
I know plenty of people.
No, Reed, man.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm Captain America. I'm going to keep this Ryder Cup stuff.
He tries way too hard to like be a character or a guy that that he thinks people will like.
But isn't that smart
at
some level?
Yeah, I mean, listen,
but it's like the most unappealing like thing to do.
And I would know because when he made birdies or pars today, it was like,
yeah. Well, nobody wanted him to win.
I agree with
But then when other guys are making birdies, like,
when they posted Speed's birdie on 16, and they showed 18, like people were like throwing beers in the air, and then he wins, and they're like,
but even later when they posted his birdie on. Must have been, 15? No, he didn't birdie 15.
Whose?
I'm talking about Reed.
Reed's?
Because when they posted for him to go back one up.
He birdied 14.
The crowd was like, oh.
I think it's good to have a heel, though. Like,
so, that tells
me why. Yeah,
we've spent the last 40 minutes talking about him.
I mean, it is definitely better to have heels in the game. I would just prefer if they didn't win. I want like the WWE, like there's a heel, but they always end up losing.
I was rooting for Reason Day. I was rooting for him to get his major.
There's three people shaking their head no.
I wasn't rooting for him, but I felt like it was inevitable.
Yeah, I mean,
even when they all started making the run, he just had too many holes left.
Oh, I was holding out so hard for Jordan to come through, yeah. Man. When he missed the putt.
When he hit the twig.
He ball on 18.
Oh, well, I'm not even there yet.
He played it from the members' tees. Played 18 from the members' tees. Whoops.
When he missed the eagle putt on 13 and then drive on 18 and then he missed the whatever it was, 5-6 footer for par on 18.
Yeah. It was the fact that he didn't get to 16 under was amazing because he parred 15. He missed the putt on 16.
That looked good a long time.
Too. Yeah, I mean, 17, he was lucky to make par. But, I mean, I figured he was going to get to 16, so I didn't even think Spieth had a chance unless he birdied 17 and 18. So, it was too little too late for pretty much everybody. And, unfortunately, Rory was pretty much dead after, like, the...
Eight.
Yeah, that
was brutal. Six on eight.
It's so bad. Yeah.
So...
All right. Oh, also on the Jimmy Stanger thing, did we tell everybody that the software didn't work, so I had to interview this guy
twice? Yeah, not yet.
Did you really?
He's the nicest kid in the world. Oh, I had to text him back and be like, you're not going to believe this.
Dude. The first time doing an interview that didn't you end the call and then you're just like...
It said it was
recording. All right, there's no
recording. Jay looked it up, it's like, and if you didn't update, your software may have not worked with Skype. I'm God. Like, oh, yeah. It so I was recording and it didn't. So this poor kid had to go talk to me twice in 2 days.
I can't believe he did it. I would have been like, he was watching the Masters when he was talking.
That's all he says. Yeah, he said he practiced and played and was watching the Masters. So he called me at like 5. I'll just answer the phone. We'll do it again.
He's sitting there watching the Masters like whatever.
He actually had a good. He had a good take on it. He said like this is good practice for me. I got to start doing more media stuff and.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a nice kid. Hard not to root for that guy in the wind.